Hi, I'm Matt Shepard.
And I'm Chad Shepard.
And today on Shep Shower and Shave, we try to figure out why we can't give athletes credit just because we don't like them. And where does your confidence level stand with Lions starting quarterback Matt Stafford? That's next. Why is it we can't seem to give athletes or teams we don't like credit when they're really good? I never liked Michael Jordan and the Bulls because of what he said about the Detroit Pistons back in the Pistons run. And eventually, I had to give credit where credit is due. He's perhaps the greatest basketball player of all time. I've never liked the Bears or the Packers because they've been the Lions' primary arch rival. I've never liked the Blackhawks because of what they've done to the Red Wings, and it's the Red Wings' arch rival. And yet, I can give credit to Jonathan Toews. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think Patrick Kane is a hell of a hockey player. What is it about guys like Sidney Crosby and LeBron James, both who've had success at our team's expense, that we can't seem to get past their greatness or giving them credit for their greatness because of what they've done to our teams and our dreams and all that other stuff?
I think as humans, we're naturally storytellers, and we like to fit ourselves into a narrative, fit our team into a narrative, and fit the people that our teams are playing against into a narrative. Villains are fun characters in narrative. Sidney Crosby, LeBron James, the teams they represent become these evil forces in the stories of our lives. And I think it's a lot more fun when you can buy in fully that way and channel the negativity, channel the aggression, the emotions when you have a loss into dislike for another team.
Do you like watching players who are great, whether you like them or not? Do you like watching players who are at the best at their profession?
To me, that's how you differentiate a fan of a sport versus the fan of a team or a supporter of a city. And I think there's a lot of fans out there who will go watch any Tigers game, all 162 they'd like to go watch in person. But if you turn on the Angels and the A's in a divisional game out on the West Coast, they don't really care to see Mike Trout, despite the fact that he's widely perceived as the best player in baseball.
That's another great example. People in Detroit have held it against Mike Trout because the national narrative was, when Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown, that Mike Trout was more valuable. So I think there are three guys, and tell me if you think I'm wrong here, and I'd like to know your opinion amongst you and your friends. There are three guys that Detroiters absolutely cannot stand. Sidney Crosby, because they won the Stanley Cup in 2009 at Joe Louis Arena, and they don't feel like he went out there and shook Nick Lidstrom's hand fast enough.
And he scored the game-winning goal less than a calendar year later when Team USA lost in the gold medal game against
I'm not sure how many people care about that. Well, you and I do.
It was a dagger in my heart.
I know. You and I do. But I don't think you know how I feel about hockey fans in this town. I think they're more Red Wing fans than they're hockey fans. So I think Sidney Crosby is probably enemy number one. Number two, I believe, is LeBron James. And I think it's not as much scoring 40-plus points at the Palace beating the Pistons when he was originally with Cleveland. It's more about how he left Cleveland, which shouldn't affect us at all, really, because it's not our town. But we don't feel that way about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a great player. Everybody wants Matt Stafford to be like Aaron Rodgers. But nobody necessarily hates Aaron Rodgers. They hate the Packers. But I don't think they hate Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Included in that, there's never been a story about Sidney Crosby or LeBron James dividing a locker room. Aaron Rodgers has got negative press in the past about saying things that were divisive in the locker room, having an aura, an attitude about him that are slightly divisive in the locker room. If anything, we have more reasons built up to dislike Aaron Rodgers than either of those two other
guys. No question.
Yet people love doing the discount double check State Farm belt when they're at the cash register.
Exactly right. And the other thing, the other player, obviously, is Mike Trout. So you have Crosby, LeBron James, and Mike Trout. And Mike Trout might be more prominent, Chad, if Mike Trout played the Tigers more frequently, like LeBron James plays the Pistons and Sidney Crosby now plays the Red Wings because both are in the Eastern Conference.
And to me, the Mike Trout thing comes more about the MVP discussion a couple of years back when it was between him and Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In 13, 14, and those you know heated debates, I think, are what generated that dislike.
Yeah, which, hey, listen, and for sports talk radio, it's fantastic.
But
it really is.
That's bizarre a little bit. That's a superficial award. That's not even on-the-field competition. Mike Trout and Miguel Cabrera never had a collision at home plate where you really see the dislike for him manifested. Those
right.
two guys head-to-head aren't competing directly in anything.
Yeah, I could see why people may hate Pete Rose, people who are fans of Ray Fosse, because Pete Rose ran him over in an All-Star game, for crying out loud. This has nothing to do with it. You're right. I mean, both are very respectful and admirable toward one another and their skill set. But there's something about this that we just can't seem to get past. There's something, and it's not like it's a rivalry. If it were Michigan, Michigan State, I completely understand. I get why Wolverine fans may not like Kirk Cousins. I understand why State fans may hate Charles Woodson. What I can't figure out is why a guy who's great at what he does, we can't even acknowledge his greatness. Our emotion gets in the way of our brain. Our heart gets in the way of our brain. It really does. If you look at other towns, let's go to St. Louis, for example. Can you imagine how the Blues fans back in the 90s hated the Detroit Red Wings, hated Steve Yzerman? And yet we here in Detroit would have said what? How can you hate Steve Yzerman? He's a great captain. He's a clutch scorer. You should appreciate Steve Yzerman. Imagine how people in Chicago felt about Isaiah Thomas, one of their own, because of the daggers that he and the Pistons, the way they played against the Chicago Bulls, right? How come we didn't feel this way about Wayne Gretzky? Or maybe we did, and it just wasn't as vocal. When the Oilers were spoiling the Red Wings' run and route to 4 Stanley Cups, 5 Stanley Cups with Gretzky and the Oilers.
That's a great point. Good consideration. Being on the other side of the coin as a Red Wings fan, sometimes I haven't traveled to too many other cities to attend NHL events, but you wear Red Wings gear around town, go to the bar, whatever you're doing, and you do catch looks or comments here and there from people about Red Wings fans.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch too much flack for wearing Lions gear, you know, out of the city. People will commiserate you or want to buy you a drink instead of throwing theirs at you.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting comparison when you have that kind of success and you're the hated versus the hatey. I think the Patriots are a good example of
yeah.
this. There
yeah.
are so many Patriot fans in the state of Michigan and generally.
But that's because Brady went to Michigan,
right,
don't you think?
And what I was getting at there is what you brought up, a good point between Michigan and Michigan State. We have an interstate rivalry here more intense than a lot of professional mm-hmm. rivalries in a lot of other states. On top of that, we have Michigan and Ohio State, which is the biggest college rivalry there is, you know, depending on who you ask, but by most people's measurements. Does that add to our perception? Because some of the guys we talked about, Crosby, LeBron, they don't have that college background, but that's an added layer of dislike. When Nick Swisher played for the Indians, it was
yeah.
easier to dislike him knowing that he was a Buckeye.
Right, but I don't think a lot of people knew he was a Buckeye. That's part of the problem, at least in baseball. In basketball and football, we know from which a player comes.
That's true.
We can follow them throughout their career. But it is interesting, I think like in Detroit, there are many people who are rooting more for Golden State than they will be for Cleveland. It's inevitable that these two franchises meet for a third straight time because of Draymond Green, whether it be Michigan State or Saginaw, even though he's the exact kind of player we would have hated had he played for Cleveland or Indiana, for example, or dare I even say Milwaukee, definitely Chicago. If he and his mouth were on another team that Detroit saw more frequently, you would absolutely despise him. But because he's from Saginaw, because he's from Michigan State, and because he's not a threat to beat Detroit, he's beloved.
How strong does that connection have to be to transcend all the way from Michigan out to California? If Ray McCallum, former University of Detroit point guard, was a backup bench type player on the Cavs, would that be enough for some Metro Detroiters to switch their
no.
allegiance over to
no.
Cleveland?
No way.
So it has to be somebody that's earned their favor already, the
yes.
way Draymond Green,
yeah.
Draymond Green did
National champion, all Big Ten, Big Ten player of the year, and more of an integral player with Golden State than anything else.
Good point. He's
okay.
as big a part of their identity,
right.
I would argue, as those Splash Brothers.
See, here's what would happen. I'm not sure about that, and especially with Kevin Durant. But here's what happens. Michigan State fans will look at Draymond Green and say he's an integral part. And I happen to agree with him. I mean, he's second team All Big Ten. You don't become second or all NBA. You don't become second team All NBA and not have some type of influence on the floor or in that locker room. Michigan fans will say, yeah, but if he were in a different scenario with a different team, if he's on Portland, if he's on Milwaukee, right, if he's on the Brooklyn Nets, he ain't putting up those types of numbers.
That's a good consideration. What are you willing to overlook? Which kinds of guys are you willing to forgive might not be the right word, but you kind of block it out in your head that they did used to play for a team that you didn't like.
Well, what do
Justin Abdelkader is an example. He's fully embraced as a Red Wings assistant captain despite being a Spartan, so half the state or maybe whatever the proportion
is. And Luke Glendening, even though he's not an assistant captain. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So both shed their former labels as Spartans and Wolverines and are now Red Wings through and through.
Why do you like, you really respect and admire what Sidney Crosby can do because you love the game of hockey. What is it about Detroit and Sidney Crosby that people you think hate most?
I think the label of crybaby, putting that on him, fair or unfair, I think it's unfair, but putting that label on him.
Sidney Crosby, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the crybaby Crosby stuff and things like that, you know. When you're one of the most targeted, one of the most important players in the game, not just in the actual team versus team matchup that you're playing in, but in the sport that you compete in, it's constant dialogue with the refs. You are the benchmark for everybody else in terms of how the game is going to be officiated. So LeBron does the same exact thing. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning did the same exact thing. You're the most important visible player with the officiating, and that's why I think Sidney Crosby's gained that label a lot is because he's seen talking to the refs, and he might not always be complaining the way we think he is.
Well, and let's face it, in hockey, more than any other sport, I believe, referees go to the captains. Referees don't go to captains in football. You know what they do? They tell the sideline tells the captain then tells the referee. Referees don't talk to basketball captains. They're talking to everybody. Okay, they're constantly in dialogue, and because the coaches are right there on the floor, same thing has happened. Umpires, if they even talk to a player, Miguel Cabrera, the captain, if you want, okay, Jason Veritek with the Red Sox back in the day, if they're talking to him, that player, his coach, Terry Collins, whoever it may be, wants to go out there and figure out, what are you saying to me?
They'll intervene.
Right. In hockey, that's not the way it is. So you're bound to have a captain, either assistant captain, any player, talk to referees more so than those referees would consult with the head coach.
Right, that's a great point. But that's the chief reason I believe that Sidney Crosby has got this dislike in the city of Detroit is that this perceived label of crybaby made him easier to hate when he scored that goal in the Olympics, when he closed out that series in 2009 and hoisted the cup at the Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my worst memories of those back-to-back years cup appearances was we won at Mellon Arena before they closed it down,
right,
and they won at the Joe. So both teams hoisted the cup.
Right,
You know, you'd like to celebrate in front of your home fans.
Yeah, but Nick Lidstrom carried it in Pittsburgh. So
I know.
Should they hate Nick Lidstrom suddenly?
No, I think it
has to do with a handshake, right? The fact that, and I was there. I was on the ice. I interviewed him. I interviewed Mario Lemieux. People felt like he should have, instead of celebrating, quickly gone to center ice and taken the hand of Nick Lidstrom and the entire Red Wings. He tried to get there. They were too busy celebrating. It was his first. I don't understand the angst that people have in that regard. In terms of him being a crybaby, I would tell people this. Bill Laimbeer, Tayshaun Prince, constant. It was a constant palm to the sky. In today's NFL, look at any wide receiver, if you want, and see how many times they jump up asking for some type of flag.
Or a DB who gets flagged.
Absolutely right. I mean, that's kind of the way it's happened, I believe. And I think that's where sports has turned to a certain extent.
But I don't know that as many Detroiters as you might think remember that perceived slight in the handshake line.
Oh, I think it sticks first and foremost in the front part of their brain.
I really don't know if that's stuck in the craw of as many people.
You honestly think more people feel about the Olympics?
No, I think more people think that they give him the general crybaby. I think the LeBron and Sidney Crosby comparisons are very, very apt in that way because
you think they're both crybabies,
no,
or both perceived to be
both. They both have perceptions that have completely overshadowed, I think, the reality of who they are, and it's only in the rare moments of true high level competition that people can kind of get more of a glimpse as to who they truly are, and that's it seems like an unfair narrative.
You know what's great? What's really too bad is we spend so much time. And I'm generalizing here. We spend so much time focusing on those two guys being whiners, babies, and disliking them. And I think maybe, to a certain extent, we have gotten over how great they truly are. Erik Karlsson, I like a great deal. Sidney Crosby, I like a great deal, obviously. And they immediately could not stand Sidney Crosby. I mean, they just hate him. And I just asked him, I'm just trying to learn here a little bit, why? He's such a baby, like you brought up. And then the second point was the fact that he didn't shake Lidstrom's hand. And so immediately when they bring up the baby aspect, I use different example, Detroiters or Michiganders. If you want to use Draymond Green, who's still alive right now and a hell of a player, go ahead. But there was a whining belief about his antics. Okay. But we fail to, we can overlook those because he's quote unquote ours. And I bring up Laimbeer and I bring up some of these others who were viewed as the same outside of Detroit. In Detroit, we see them as competitors, right? Outside Detroit, we see them as people view them as babies. Well, people had very short memories regarding that. It was all about Sidney Crosby. And I said, here's one thing you cannot deny. He's one of the greatest players of all time. And somebody looked at me and says, well, wait till you see Connor McDavid. I said, I've seen Connor McDavid. I think Connor McDavid's a hell of a player. I think hockey's in a really good place right now with him and Austin Matthews and some of the other really good players, right? But don't start telling me that Connor McDavid is Sidney Crosby. Not even close yet. What Sidney Crosby was able to do at such a young age. And think about how good he's been for how long he's been, even though he's lost a ton of games due to injury and concussions. And how he's been able to play through that concussion during this year's playoffs. People just can't seem to get past the imprint in their mind and their opinion of what he was when he played Detroit and was knocking off the Red Wings.
And what's curious to me about that is I don't believe there's reasons for that opinion to be reinforced. When you find one opinion and then you're turning on whatever network you watch and LeBron's reinforcing that opinion by complaining in the media day after day after day about something or openly bitching on Instagram or whatever it may be, find me a single clip of Sidney Crosby behaving that way in the media. He represents the organization, the franchise, and the sport the way you want it to be represented.
Right.
First class all the way. And people like to find justifications. It's called confirmation bias, if I'm applying the term correctly, to enhance or enforce something that they already believe. They already got deeply rooted in there.
Yeah.
Even sometimes when evidence is staring them exactly in the face to the contrary.
Well, not to mention the fact that LeBron James just won the NBA Citizenship Award, for crying out loud.
He sends kids to college.
Right.
Pays for it. It's unbelievable.
Sidney Crosby does the exact same thing, okay? He gives back more to the community than people ever realize, ever, okay? Whether it be an annual trip to Children's Hospital, whether it be clutching, you know, a pair of Toys R Us bags filled with various toys that he gives to kids. He gives back as much as he possibly can. Little Penguins Learn to Play, all that stuff. Sidney Crosby does all that. Charity events over and over and over again. And he doesn't just do it in Pittsburgh. He does it in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia as well. This is a guy who makes sure when the Make-A-Wish Foundation calls, he takes after it. When there's a soldier who had developed a special friendship with Sidney Crosby and happened to have a problem in Afghanistan, Crosby is there to help out. I mean, there are so many stories of him getting involved that, I mean, you talk to anybody who's covered him in Pittsburgh, and they'll tell you, he's the kind of guy you want representing your organization, your city, and its fan base.
Right. We've talked before about Matt Stafford making anonymous donations or making a large donation and asking, not just saying, I don't want you to tell anybody about this, but specifically asking you to not take action.
Yes.
And to actually take a process to keep him anonymous. And those are the kind of people you want representing your city and your organization. Sidney Crosby's doing it for another city, and for that reason, we can't appreciate it at all. And LeBron, a lot of times, the same way.
Well, but more importantly, it's not just that he's doing it for another city. It's the fact that it's he who's doing it. That's the biggest
problem.
Well,
but that's what I mean. If Sidney Crosby was a native from right across the border in Ontario instead of up in Nova Scotia,
and we would embrace it a lot
more. And some
of
his charitable efforts extended to the Wayne County or the city of Detroit – we'd be putting him on billboards and the sides of buildings.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up Matt Stafford. It's a really good point regarding Matt Stafford, and he's done it numerous times. I would just tell you, tell anybody who's listening and hasn't heard this story, Matt Stafford numerous times, whether it be a fireman in West Bloomfield, a little kid's travel hockey team, something that could not be afforded out of the goodness of his heart, does it. And I know, look, I hate to give credit to a lot of people regarding that because it's something you probably should do anyway if you're making that kind of money. But the bottom line is he does it and he doesn't ask for accolades. Matt Stafford, I have the utmost confidence in. I don't think he is, you know, an elite quarterback, that of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. But I do believe that he's a guy who you win with. I think he's a hell of a football player. I think he's become a much better leader. Recently, ESPN came out with a quarterback confidence index, ranking, after the draft, the 32 depth charts of that quarterback position. And obviously, number one was Tom Brady. I mean, here's a guy who wins a Super Bowl at the age of 39, has five rings. There's no slowing him down. You don't even mention Jimmy Garoppolo except in trade rumors these days. Number two is Aaron Rodgers, and I get that too. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is as complete a quarterback as you're going to find. Number three was Matt Ryan of Atlanta. But what was interesting, Chad, is the only other team that had the utmost confidence, so they broke this down into various categories: completely confident, confident for now, confident is a two-way street, confidence ascending, and confidence declining. All right? And then let's see some more.
The rest of those are pretty much saying you shouldn't be too thrilled about your quarterback situation. Right. But those are the ones that are promising and moving up.
Yeah, some they have no idea, and some they have let's see more. So, for example, Dak Prescott is under let's see more. Right. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Tyrod Taylor, let's see more. Carson Wentz, let's see more. Watch your back is a guy like Ryan Tannehill. Who knows what's going to happen with him? Trevor Siemian, Blake Bortles. Not sure what's going to happen there. Mike Glennon with Chicago, obviously, anytime you draft Mitchell Trubisky, number two overall. Who knows what's going to happen in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Cleveland and places. The teams you really want to focus on, or I want to focus on, are the teams probably in the top 16.
18.
Top 18?
Yep.
Okay, we'll go top 18. So let's talk about, first and foremost, holding steady. They've got Andy Dalton with Cincinnati. They've got Sam Bradford with Minnesota, and they've got Joe Flacco with Baltimore. This is interesting because Flacco's won a world championship and was the MVP of the Super Bowl. I don't know why Sam Bradford is in the same conversation. Andy Dalton at one point, 8 straight years where they've made the playoffs. Now, hasn't won a playoff game, but that franchise made the playoffs 8 straight years. And he's a guy that many people feel pretty comfortable with. I think A.J. McCarron's a really good backup. But what's interesting, so you got those three guys at holding steady.
Well, the term QB purgatory comes to mind. People talk about that when they talk about different NFL situations, and that's kind of you're stuck where you are for the foreseeable future. So the heir apparent
you'd like to get out is what you're saying?
No, I don't know about that. It's the heir apparent is not yet apparent.
Okay.
But
well, in Cincinnati, it would be. A.J. McCarron could.
You think he is?
Oh, he's a good player, yeah. Look, Minnesota wanted A.J. McCarron. Cincinnati wouldn't trade him to Minnesota.
I don't know that he'll be a quality starting NFL quarterback, okay. But we'll see about that.
All right, we'll see about that. Well, we don't even know if – I can tell you there's teams that would like to have him rather than their situation.
That's
now.
Fair.
That doesn't
fair.
Mean that I'm right. I'm just
– And looking
just
at the bottom of this list, I can understand why some of those teams are in that situation. But that's only one consideration. Among the considerations are – if the starting quarterback went down, how capable is the backup? Right. How much longer might the starting quarterback play? How often do they play all 16 games? Are you going to rely on that backup? So there's a number of different factors that ESPN's kind of brought into this.
So confidence declining. Arizona, Carson Palmer, because of his age, getting up there, hasn't been able to get it done. Kansas City with Alex Smith, and we know what Kansas City did in the draft by using one of their draft picks and Patrick Mahomes taking him in the draft and higher than many people thought, so they feel like the heir apparent is there ready to go. What's surprising to me is confidence ascending, question mark, Oakland and Washington. Washington, I'm still not sure because how long is Kirk Cousins going to be there?
Right.
You know, he's franchised for a second straight year. Derek Carr is a really good player. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. But he wants a lot of money. And he's upset right now that the Raiders haven't talked to him about some type of extension.
And they are paying just about everybody else.
Confidence is a two-way street. This is probably my favorite category because most Lions fans would shake their heads in disbelief of the three teams in this category.
And it also underscores the importance of that communication and relationship between head coach, GM, and quarterback, and the way that in many cases all three of their fates can be tied together.
Yeah. Here's number nine, or the first team under the category of confidence. It's a two-way street. Andrew Luck. He's 27. They're paying him a slew of money. But guess what? Andrew Luck has not had some great seasons the last couple of years. Russell Wilson, who is far – I'm surprised this is where Seattle sits with him. And Cam Newton. And this is a guy who used to be or was – the league MVP just a couple of years ago and taking his team to the Super Bowl. And yet it says confidence is a two-way street. You were going to say, go ahead.
I'm confused on that label with those three guys because correct me if I'm wrong, but all three of them are under big
long-term
contracts.
Right.
So the confidence has already been expressed by the team. It's a one-way street at this point. We need a return on our confidence.
Yeah, and it's also been accepted by the fan base.
Yeah.
There's no question that people in Indianapolis feel confidence in Andrew Luck, who I think to be honest with you, I think is slightly overrated. I really do. Threw a lot of picks. Russell Wilson, no question. You have complete confidence in Russell Wilson. And same thing with Cam Newton, who doesn't have a terrible backup in Derek Anderson. Anyway, so that's that. Confident for now. Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger. And again, a lot of this has to do with the backups. New Orleans with Drew Brees. Chase Daniel backup, Garrett Grayson, former third-round pick, Chargers, and the Giants.
And to me, those four are, just as you acknowledged, basically saying you have an NFL-capable quarterback right now who's in the top tier, but the guy behind him gives us pause for concern.
I'll tell you right now, the top 12 for me, complete confidence. Top 12 teams, or 12 quarterback situations. And I already gave people the top three completely confident, New England, Green Bay, and Atlanta. Well, the Lions are number four. They've got Matt Stafford along with Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers under the completely confident situation. Remember, his backups, one was playing at the University of Miami last year in Brad Kaya, and the other is Jake Rudock, who was on the practice squad last year. Bears wanted him. He decided to stay with the Lions because they felt like he's going to be the number two guy going into this year.
So it's an interesting position to put the Lions between those two categories, right?
Yes, it is.
The top tier, as you acknowledge.
How is it not confident for now right now?
New England, Green Bay, and Atlanta. And then to put Detroit with those teams ahead of Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, ahead of New Orleans.
And it's not just the teams, Chad. It's the players he's with.
So if you were to, as you acknowledge with the backups, if you were to take Jake Rudock and Brad Kaya and compare them to the backups in Pittsburgh, the backups in New Orleans, backups in L.A., and the backups with the Giants.
It's not how close.
So where does that extra confidence come from? ESPN thinks that highly of Matt Stafford, and I believe the peers around the NFL perceive Matt Stafford that highly.
Not just that. It's his relationship with Jim Bob Cooter that is just as vital as Stafford's ability, his confidence, and all that other stuff. If you look at the numbers that Matt Stafford has under Jim Bob Cooter since he's been ascended to, the offensive coordinator, the numbers are off the charts compared to where it was before. I find it incredibly interesting and telling about how people feel nationally, Matt Stafford, compared to how people locally feel about Matt Stafford. So here's what I want to know from you. If I said to you, before you looked at this, and I gave you the categories, and I'll reiterate, the categories in this poll, if you will, completely confident, confident for now, confidence is a two-way street, confidence ascending, confidence declining, holding steady, let's see some more, have no idea. Where would you have put the Lions and Matt Stafford?
I probably would have put him in confident for now.
Really? That far down?
No, that's the second highest. I meant that second highest.
Well, the second highest is confidence. It's a two-way street, right?
No, that's the third.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Confident for now.
Is with Pittsburgh,
you.
New Orleans.
I got you.
And by that, I would have been acknowledging that the backup situation is unproven. It doesn't mean it can't work. It doesn't mean the guys that are there can't be NFL backups or better. It means it's unproven, and that's something we're not sure of. But the most interesting part of this entry to me was the eight-word first sentence that they began this Lions entry with. A lot of these entries are begin with qualifiers, like this other team, if this other team is clicking in this way, when Ben Roethlisberger does this. The Lions is an eight-word sentence. Matt Stafford hasn't missed a game since 2010.
Right.
This guy's a gamer, and when you're playing up and you're going against Detroit, there's no question about who you're going to have to take out from that offensive arsenal in order to give your team a chance. If you don't stop Matt Stafford, it's over. We've talked in the past about how bad some of the Lions' run game numbers are. Teams aren't going into those games and game planning to shut down the run in a way that they would with a Pittsburgh, with a Baltimore,
with
one of these other organizations. It's Matt Stafford, the face of the franchise and the face of the game plan for the opponent, and that's why – the ESPN has him ranked in the highest tier.
See, I would have put him in the tier of confidence as a two-way street. And the reason being is that he's going into the last year of his deal, and I think they'll do a new deal for sure, but he's going into the last year of his deal. Jim Bob Cooter may be destined for a head coaching job somewhere after this season, and you've got two unproven quarterbacks behind him. We're looking at it from a Lions standpoint, then a Stafford standpoint. I'd be more apt to put it in the confidence as a two-way street than I would be in the highest tier that you could possibly get.
That's a great comparison, especially when you look at the other quarterbacks in that confidence as a two-way street. And what's the narrative? I suppose Seattle and Carolina have both had deep postseason success, but they've not had year after year postseason success since those guys have been in the league. The way those other teams have.
Russell Wilson on a regular basis is there.
I suppose now, you can talk about injuries last year, and I know recency bias, but last year they didn't quite look the same. I know where they ended up, but I think, and that's part of ESPN's entry here about Russell Wilson, is that they say he's never missed a game in his five-year career, but it looks like he might have benefited from missing one or two last season.
Well, I don't know
why that bumps him down six spots lower than Detroit when he's had more playoff success.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. He doesn't throw a ton of touchdowns. That's fine. He keeps you honest in so many different ways. And he greatly benefits from a running game and a hell of a defense. It wasn't the running game as much last year as it was the defense. But he does get some help there. That doesn't take away how good Russell Wilson truly is.
And at least in the
last... This is not a ranking of quarterbacks. Let's remind people. This isn't ranking quarterbacks. This is ranking the team's confidence in their quarterback situation.
So how do Lions fans feel, who have said for years that they'd rather have a Russell Wilson, that they'd rather have a Cam Newton, now that ESPN's out here?
I'll tell you how they feel. They think this is absolutely whacked. That's how they feel.
That may be the case, but I think it's important that we take a little bit of stock of what the rest of the league thinks and what some professional talent evaluators think. And you talk to people in just about every city you go to about this situation, and they tell you left and right, I don't understand what Detroiters want if they're not happy with Matt Stafford.
They would love to have him. For the most part, more teams than not would rather have him under center than they have the guy that they're currently taking snaps. Or even if they do like their quarterback, they still like the guy who dresses.